Right, sorry. So we were just talking about your second school. Yes, so you're in a big class with.
It was 30 in my half of the room, and then we had just had the one teacher. She was very good, but she had an impossible task, really trying to keep the two classes together. And then, of course, because we came from a quite a wide rural area, we all had to have lunch in the same room. So at 11:30, everything was cleared, and the kitchen staff came in and took over. And it was very difficult for the teacher, and she would walk us backwards and forwards. The school was a rather strict C of E. Everything was based on religion, and we had very little history apart from the usual. Everything was dealt with rather superficially.
Right.
But I suppose with that number of people, it had to be something which would interest everyone, so there was no depth.
And you were saying that you were taught the Romans again. Can you remember anything else that you were taught?
No, this vague idea of William the Conqueror was everyone knew about 1066 from about that size onwards, but no, not a great deal.
Right. And the history that you did have, can you remember how it was taught? Did you have any pictures on the walls
No,
or
we had a
textbooks?
blackboard, and the occasional map over, draped over the blackboard,
Oh.
or a picture that might be relevant, but not a great deal more. I do remember seeing, having said it was just Romans, it would have been late Romans, obviously. I do remember our teacher, Mrs. Chambers, had a picture of Boadicea with the knives on the tires, of her
Oh.
wheels, which was something that interested. The thing I can remember is that particular instance. But all the children were interested in the wheels, not necessarily the history that went with
Right.
it. But apart from that, no, everything was very superficial.
Right, okay. And so did you stay on there till
I stayed
you?
on there. I got through the 11 plus, and I stayed on there till I was about 11, and then I transferred to the local grammar school, and I was there for till I was 18, really.
Oh, right. And how did his we you were taught history at
Oh
the grammar
yes,
school?
very, very differently. Initially, we were taught about the Egyptians and hieroglyphics and the Rosetta Stone, and also the cuneiform writing
Oh, yeah.
that was in Babylon. That appealed to all sorts of levels. And we had a general teacher for that. The specialist teachers were ones that dealt with us when we went on to O level from about the third form onwards.
Right, so when you say a general teacher, like your form teacher or
Yes, she
something.
also took vague English lessons, and we also had speech lessons. We were all told that we didn't speak properly, we wouldn't get a job, which of course in the 1950s our parents were very mindful of the problems of unemployment. My father particularly had lived through the 30s, and he'd been unemployed for nearly 2 years, so he was very, very aware.
So you were all taught to lose your accents, were
Oh
you?
yes, but we didn't dare speak like that when we got home. No, if we'd spoken like that at home, it would have been dreadful. We'd never have got over
It's like two different languages,
Oh yes,
almost.
very
Yeah,
much so. Yes,
right. That's good.
you would be stepping out of your class, you know.
And with the general teacher, so she was teaching about the Egyptians, for
Yes.
example. How did she teach? Did she
The
do drawings
draw.
and
We had again blackboard teaching, and we had books, but I can't remember the name of the book. And we had pictures of, again, the Rosetta Stone and how important it was. It opened up a whole new era of understanding these people. And I suppose we dealt with that for about a year, 18 months. And then the second and the third form, as far as I can remember, were mainly to do with the Reformation.
Right.
But I'm sorry, I don't remember what books.
No, it's fine. But you'd write, did the teacher write things on the board?
Yes, she did. And we also had to read, but I can't remember the name of the books.
Right.
And then, of course, after the third form, we were all very much aware that we had to prepare and change attitudes and everything because we had O-levels coming up. And ours was the first year when O-levels were done at school. Prior to that, it had been the school certificate, which had been very, very important. So
so you got a choice, what's called a choice did you get of subjects that...
We could choose, well, usually we were advised what would be best for us. But most of us did the subjects that we wanted, we were interested in.
So you chose history, did you?
Yes, I did.
And what did you give up to do history?
I didn't really give up anything. The timetable was adjusted.
Oh,
and right. And we fitted in what things we wanted to do.
Oh, that's very good.
I wanted to do German because I'm quite interested in languages. And I was advised that would be a problem because I would need Latin for university, and Latin and German, it would have been very, very difficult to fit it into the timetable.
Okay, so, what I haven't asked is earlier, just on whether you ever did any trips or anything, or whether you filmed radio?
We did one or two, but we were very restricted. We didn't do very many trips. We were very restricted because of lack of transport.
Right.
Buses were few and far between, and very few people had cars. So we did have a little bit of a problem in that direction. I had a teacher who was very interested in all her girls, and I think I mentioned that we went to the Minster Lovell Roman remains, and we saw the mosaic floors of this house, which was really, really interesting. The teacher took us in a car, three of us, which we really enjoyed. And then we also went to Windsor Castle. That was I made a note actually, it was 1951. And we also saw Henry V at the local secondary modern school. They had a special film put on.
Oh, right.
So okay. We went along to see that.
And you went to museums as well?
I did. I hadn't done so because I'd never been in a museum. I didn't know what they were like. Although we were actually living on the outskirts of Oxford, we were very much aware that the Ashmolean was an important place to go. Our teachers at grammar school said, yes, you must go, you must see this, you must see that. And we did go, and I went to the Pitt Rivers Museum, which deals with things like sarcophagus.
Oh, right.
And, which, of course, I mean, at 13, you think is, you know, really interesting. You're not so much interested in the history of it, but I think somebody can put a body like
that. That's right. Very good. So just getting back then, did you have TV or radio?
We had, we did have radio. No, television was way, way out.
Yeah, so I was thinking,
there was something called the school's broadcasts.
Right.
And Stephen King Hall was one of the contributors, and he was the man of the time, you know.
Yes, well, I've just been to the BBC archives and I was reading about him. So can you remember what... any of his broadcasts were about?
Again, I'm pretty certain. He did it on a general basis because he was also used to come on to Children's Hour, which came on at 5 o'clock every day. I'm sorry, I can't remember anything specific. But
you're doing very well. It's great. It's very good. So, okay, getting back to O-level, what kind of history what period were you doing then?
Well, again, most of it was modern stuff, because we had a teacher who could see if you were particularly interested in something that you felt you could relate to, then you were going to do better. So we did mostly modern history, 1789 to 1936.
Oh, right, that's so,
yes, we were quite taken with that.
And you, and how did she teach it to you?
Well, but most of that was just reading. I can't remember whether the Trevelyan book was for O level or A level. I think it was A level. I'm pretty certain it was A level. We had to read a lot of background stuff. We were made to read a lot of Dickens novels, which gave you very good background as to, you know, the sort of conditions of the time. That was really the main thing.
And did you make notes from the teacher writing on the board?
Oh, yes, yes, we all had to do notes. And she used to inspect them as well.
Oh, right.
So it was no good writing anything too superficial, obviously.
Okay. And did you do essays and tests?
Oh, yes, we had essays. And they were examined quite critically.
Mm-hmm.
And we had notes. You know, the red pen would go across it, this is wrong, you must read this again, that sort of thing.
And the sixth form, you stayed on to do A-levels, and did you do history then?
I did, yes, yes. I wanted to do modern history because I felt I could relate to it better. And also, the family would be able to tell me quite a lot about various people, or I knew so and so, you know, and then it would click. We did the enclosure acts, obviously, as a part of the curriculum, and I found out from my father that his grandfather had been very much involved in them, so that made it more interesting. And several years later, excuse me, I went to a play about my grandfather, my great-grandfather. And the problem apparently was that he could speak well and he could read and write, which in the 1850s and 60s was rather dubious if you came from the labouring classes. And so he was regarded with great suspicion. Mm-hmm. And when he decided and led the villagers to say, enclosing this land and swapping it for something less good is not something we're going to accept, they put him in prison. But they couldn't hold him there. He was there, I think, for one day, and they had to release him. But he was arrested for causing a riot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was regarded as a bit of a rebel. And I don't know. I rather gather that, you know, the idea of the French Revolution ideas were coming in. He was regarded as, you know, rather dangerous. You know, you had to watch him. Actually, my father said he was a nice old man, but he used to get very niggled if he thought someone was trying to push him aside. So
interesting. So you studied modern history at O level and at A level.
Yes,
then?
Yes.
Same period, really.
Yes, yes, I did.
Oh, that's interesting. Hmm. And was the teaching different at A level?
Yes, very much. O-level? Very much more personal. And we were treated as grown ups, which was something which it's very difficult to teach children who've only got a moderate interest. They play around.
Mm.
But because there were very few girls who were allowed to stay on, this was a time when parents and relatives had a great say. You know, education for girls was wasted.
Mm.
And we had a very, very good teacher, Miss Davis. She spent hours trying to persuade parents that education was not wasted on girls, that they really would benefit. But sadly, there were a few girls. In the end, there were only three of us that did history, so we had almost personal tuition.
Gosh, yes.
Really good, you know.
So how did that work? Did you read and...
Lots of reading. And we also had to read during the holidays as well. And we were tested on it when we went back. So,
and can you remember any of the books that you read?
I'm just trying to think. I can't remember offhand. We were given questions, which I'll show you later, which you might be interested to read. Mrs. Arrowsmith, our teacher, would write up her hand, "You will do this and I will test you at the end of the time." And she did. She was very, very good. Mm-hmm. And on occasion, she could be a bit dragon-like, but the girls loved her as a whole. They really thought she was good. She had their interests at heart.
Mm. And did you, I suppose there's only three of you, you didn't have the teacher, did the teacher lecture you, at all, or was it more?
Well, there was a blackboard on the wall, but mostly it was discussion, and we would be given topics to write about. Again, I've got some on there. And we did quite a lot in foreign history on the French Revolution, which really came across and really made us think. And several years later, on a visit to some French friends, they surprised us one morning. One of them appeared with a pile of leaflets, and he said, I thought these might interest you. And when we looked at them, they were execution leaflets. His grandfather, many times removed, had been mayor of Toulon during the Terror.
Mm.
And he'd been responsible for sending dozens of people to their deaths. And these leaflets were beautifully scripted. And they were, these people were tried in the morning, sentenced in the afternoon, and executed at night.
Mm.
It's absolutely dreadful, but they were all meticulously kept, and he found them in a roof of his aunt's house when she died. They'd obviously been passed down through the family.
Yes,
so. Horrendous.
So, just thinking back to your teaching as a whole, which is probably good, and do you think the history was taught well during the years that you were at school?
Yes, because I was interested in it, and I could imagine perhaps people who maybe their interest wasn't quite like mine, I don't know. They would say, "Oh yes, it's okay," you know. But no, I found it very good. But of course, if you're only teaching three people, you know them very well,
yes.
And therefore you pick points that you think might be of some special interest.
And what about lower down the school? Did you think it was taught well?
At grammar school, yes, very, very well.
Right.
Yes.
And do you think the history you were taught at school helped you to feel proud of being British in any way?
I thought hard about that. I didn't think it really made very much difference. We had teachers who were terribly proud of being British, but you know, when you've got someone a bit older than you who makes a point of this, you tend to turn off.
Yes.
So no, it didn't make a great deal of difference to me. You know, the world was red, but we just accepted that that's what happened, but it didn't sort of do anything very much to me anyway.
When you think back, what would stick most in your memory from your history lessons? What would you see as a highlight, I suppose, or a low light?
Oh, good gracious.
Or maybe nothing.
I can't think of anything particularly that comes to mind. No, I just like the subject generally.
Mm.
The Bodleian experience was really, really interesting.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. This was the work experience you did after school?
When I left, yes. Well, there were 3 weeks from time of doing A-levels to the end of term. So, yes, those 3 weeks really.
Tell us about it, because work experience in the 50s was obviously quite
it was
unusual.
New.
Yeah.
It was new, and people regarded it a little bit with suspicion. You know, was this labour on the cheap? That sort of idea. Of course, it wasn't any sort. But
So if, what did you do? Tell about it.
Well, my family had lived in the village for over 1,000 years, and they were originally stonemasons, who I gather, and I'm not 100% certain where this information comes from, they were stonemasons who'd worked on some of the Oxford colleges. Mm. So that was one of the reasons I got really interested. And then, of course, their families were there, and my cousins were still there in the 1950s. They're still very much involved.
And just say a little bit about, you went to the Bodleian and worked for whom?
I worked with Dr. Hassell, who was writing a book about 1,000 years of Wheatley history. And he thought it would be quite a good idea if we read through some documents. We weren't able to understand all of them, but being at the Bodleian, there were people who could translate and could read these very old writing, and they were quite interested to think that there were youngsters who were interested, and they were very, very helpful.
And was there other people? Was it just you, or was several of them?
No, I had a friend. Funnily enough, I'm still friends with her even today. The two of us worked together, and we did this this research, and we loved it, both of us. Although she became a scientist, and her interest was mainly because it was local.
Mm.
So.
And this was set up by your history teacher?
No, this was set up. Dr. Hassell's wife was an artist, and she taught art at school, and she also knew me vaguely from when I was a very little girl, because my cousin was a nanny to her children, so she sort of knew me vaguely, and she said to me, would you like to do this? And we thought, yes, it would be fun, it would be interesting, so I was sent to do it.
And since you've left school, have you done more history? You did a degree, didn't you? But
no, I didn't. I won a scholarship, and then I messed it up big time. I had a nervous breakdown, which in the 1950s was not a very respectable illness. You know, any mental problems are regarded as bit in for a dig, and you kept very quiet about it. So I was there for 2 years at Exeter, and I loved it, I really did, but I just overworked. And because I was on a scholarship, that obviously ceased, and my parents couldn't afford for me to stay on and for them to pay. So I was sort of stuck. What was I going to do? And the family thought, you know, what a waste of money, what, you know, stepped out of her class, we always knew this was going to happen. But I had a very good teacher, a headmistress, and again, Mrs. Arrowsmith, my history teacher, and they both said, well, why don't you do some sort of secretarial work till you're really feeling better, and then we'll sort it out from there. So I did a secretarial course for a year when I was feeling much better. And I went through the civil service at that stage. They just ceased their own exams, and they were prepared to accept me on what I'd already done. And I went for an interview, and I was on. Accepted. But I didn't dare even then say about the nervous breakdown. So they just had to think I was thick.
So, well, let's go on to other history. I've got a list of suggestions here, which I think you have. Have you done any of these things, family history or the history of your house?
Family history is the... the family history, I've done those two.
So you've done two books of family history?
Well, one book on family history, one book on school and village life and how it affected us.
Right, so you obviously continued an interest in history.
Yes.
That's very good. And what about, are you member of the National Trust?
We've been members for a number of years, so yes, we enjoy those visits.
And do you read and watch TV programmes about history?
Yes, Anthony Beevor's Stalin was one book I read recently, and the other one was William Hague's book on
Pitt.
Isn't it silly how you this suddenly goes? And then, of course, I usually watch the Nord History Programme, Sharma, Richard Holmes, military historian. Yes. Really, really good. Enjoyed that. And so, of course, Dan Snow's recent programmes about the First World War.
Yes, so you obviously do.
Yes.
And do you think that the history you learnt at school has given you a good background for these things? Or do you think it's just an interest you would have anyway?
Yes, it did give a good background, but I was interested anyway. And I think school, yes, it set me off, but it's an interest that has stayed with me, so, yeah.
And is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to
say? Well, I belong to the Oxford Record Society. I joined that after my Bodleian experience, and I really, really enjoy that. We go every year either to one of the colleges for a meeting. It's just fascinating. I really do enjoy that. So that's one. And of course I also belong to the Family History Society and get a brochure about that every so often. I think actually that's about it, I think. That's not quite the same. No. I belong to the Milestone Society because I get very annoyed when I see council people out there digging up the road and throwing the milestones in.
Yes, beautiful milestones.
So I get very annoyed about that.
Right, well, thank you very much, Christine. That's really been interesting, and thank you for giving me your time.